Hello friends, once again welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 2 of Agri Price Risk Management. Our chapter 2 is Importance of Pricing of Agri Commodities. So what are the learning objectives? The learning objectives of chapter 2 is to help you understand the importance of pricing of agri commodities. So we have seen in the first chapter the basics about agriculture. We have also understood why agriculture is important. We have also seen why should we support our farmers, and the most important way of supporting the farmers is to help them get the better price for agri commodities. So this chapter is going to focus on how we can price the agri commodities. We are also going to understand what were the methods that were followed traditionally and what are the methods that are followed in the current times. Chapter 2 will explain you the basis on which the pricing of agri commodities is done, right from before and after the establishment of APMCs. So APMC has been a very, very important development into pricing of agri commodities. So when we talk about traditional methods, we will refer to those methods that were before establishment of APMC, and after APMC, more specifically with the establishment of the ENAMS, more integrated network for marketing the agri produce. So what impact does it have? That is going to be explained in this chapter, as well as we will see the different opportunities for the farmers to sell at the spot. That is what the price is of today, as well as in the future. He can lock a price in the future, in the present day. That is what we call it as selling with a futures contract. So this has been a very, very important technique in the hands of the farmers to decide which option he has to choose for pricing his agri commodities. Then it will also specify the factors affecting prices of agri commodities, and this will help you to understand not only how an agri commodity actually is sown and grown, and even though it is sown and grown, what will be the factors that would be responsible for harvesting, for marketing and pricing of those agri commodities. So we also have to understand on what basis does the farmer price his agri commodities, and that will bring us to the objectives of pricing. So this chapter is going to tell a lot of things about pricing of agri commodities. Once again, we'll take reference to our first chapter to understand the importance of pricing. We have to understand how much production does India make in agriculture. India production has increased from 50.82 million in 51-52 to about 284.95 million tons, which means there's increase by 5.6 times due to increase in irrigation. Then the production of most crops is also expected to be higher. This is we have actually seen in our first chapter. Then the better agriculture is because of the better infrastructure driven by technology. The yield is also increasing because of genetically modified crops. At the same time, the cost of productivity, the wholesale price, the consumer price is also increasing. So everything is on the uptrend. Next important is we all know agriculture is very important sector. It needs to be supported, and government has also realized this, and government is sparing no efforts. It is totally supporting the farmers in different manners. The first and the big most important way in which the government is supporting is implementing the minimum support price based on the Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs. Recommendation is an approved an increase in the minimum support price for all mandated Rabi crops for 2019-20. The increase in the MSP of crops for Rabi marketing season 2020 is based on the principle of fixing MSPs at least 1.5 times. So farmers are assured of a minimum of 50% of margin of profit. And these are the different progressive steps which are going to be instrumental for fulfilling one of the main goals of the government of doubling the farmers' income by 2020 and improving their welfare substantially. So considering this important aspects of agriculture, now we are ready to understand some important concepts about pricing of agri commodities. Before we go more deeper into understanding the various factors and the various methods in which the pricing is done, let us first understand what does a good price depend upon. Like if a farmer wants a good price for his agri produce, what factors will be actually responsible for getting him the good price? So let us understand that first. A good price depends upon producing excellent crops, good partnering with marketing channels, because the farmer is always not going to send his produce to the market, to the consumer. He'll require partners, he'll require a marketing channel to lift his produce and bring it to the market for the consumers. An appropriate grading, transportation and storing facilities. Grading is one important aspect. A better quality will get better price. Even though you have produce, it has to be stored till you find a consumer. And wherever the goods cannot be sold in the regional market, it needs to be transported to the markets where it is needed. So transportation, better transportation can also fetch a good price. Then the core pricing skills and strategies. So even though you have a basic price, you always have different methods and strategies to get the best price out of your produce based on your marketing. Then economics of the market at various stages of production life cycle. Wherever the market is closer to the farm, it can be easily available, so there may not be that high demand. Wherever the market is far off from the production, then the demand may be very high because there will be less availability. So based on the different economics of the market as well as different stages of crop production, because whenever only when the harvest is ready you can get the crops, you cannot get the crops immediately on sowing it. So based on different life cycle of the crops also, the pricing will depend. Commoditization of products and pressure on price margins have forced the modern farmer to find new ways of hedging the price through the derivatives. So this is the ultimate into your pricing mechanisms. Different factors are going to affect, so the farmer cannot be certain about one particular price he is going to get, because there can be various uncertain factors that may come in the way, and hence here he has to use various tools such as the derivatives contracts, the hedging concepts to ensure that his loss is minimized and some part of the profit is going to be, he is going to get it for his crops. So what is the strategy of the modern farmer? Before we understand the strategy of the modern farmer, I would like to quote two important sayings by two experts, two very famous people. The first one is Warren Buffett, who says, price is what you pay, value is what you get. So it doesn't matter what price you pay, what matters is the value. And a famous quote by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, who says that even a leaf, flower or a fruit offered with love and devotion shall be accepted with great appreciation, as it will have great value. So friends, this is a very important aspect of understanding what a price is and what a value is. So ultimately what matters is the value, which will fetch automatically a good price. A modern farmer has indeed understood this very well, and pricing is a rewarding business lever, whereas value is based on excellence of output. So if he has a better output, he has a quality output, if it can be transported easily, it can be delivered fresh to the consumers, obviously he can get a better value. And this is what a modern farmer has understood, and all his strategies are based around these factors for delivering with value to get a better price. The price of agri commodity is determined on the cost of production, demand and supply of commodity, trends of the markets. Demand factors include the consumer preferences and spending capacity. Also, in addition to demand, the supply side, which includes the farm produce, farm and procurements and distribution, as well as the imports that are made. This is very important aspect, because not only demand, the supply also, there should not be any scarcity. If there is a production beyond a limit, a required quantity, then it has to be ensured that it is procured by the government. If at all there are imports, then that may be competing with the local production. So all these supply factors can also impact the pricing of agri commodities. Then the area under cultivation as well as the market access. We have seen lot of production can happen within a small area of land. So how much is the productivity out of a particular size of the land, that will also decide, because a huge crop production will automatically reduce the price of per unit production. And that's how the area under cultivation, the market access, how sooner the production can reach the market. If it is reaching sooner, the spoilage will be lesser. Availability of irrigation and infrastructure, climatic, social, economic and political changes. Climate also plays a very important aspect. Sudden rain, sudden snowfall, sudden change in heat. So this can seriously impact the crop. Social, economic and political changes can also have a very serious impact on the price of agriculture. When we talk about political, the proness of the government, how pro, how farmer friendly are they? What incentives are they provided that can encourage the farmer to grow his crops? How much food is actually required? What are the preferences of the society? What type of food they take? Then economic, how cheaper are they? Are they going beyond the budget of the consumers? All these factors are going to decide the price of an agri commodities. Then specialization producing certain commodities will also, like if you are having a monopoly, none other suppliers are there, then definitely that particular commodity will fetch you a good price. So these are the different factors which actually determine the price of agri commodities. Prices are also determined by different types of markets. Like if you have to classify markets, you can easily classify that into three types. The monopoly market, the oligopoly market, as well as the perfect competition. What happens in the monopoly market? Monopoly market, only few players, the dominant players, because of which it can lead to the lower output, and for whatever the supply, they can fetch maximum price for it. In case of an oligopoly market, it comprises of a large firms, will influence the price through forcing output decisions. And in case of a perfect competitions, a farmer will try to reduce costs, enhance values for competing with larger number of buyers and sellers. So based on what type of market that farmer is in, the prices of the commodity will also actually come out in that manner. In the modern times, as we have seen the traditional methods to the APMC and now the ENAM, ENAM is also playing a very important role in pricing of agri commodities. Farmers can get better prices for the produce through transparent bidding ENAM, because the middlemen are no more existing in ENAMs. There is a direct interface between the farmers and the buyers. With increased number of buyers from different markets for greater negotiation power, because you are not forced to sell only to a single buyer. You have wide options of buyers who are ready to pick at the price you want. Get a better buyer, and that is how you discover a price. The price discovery mechanism has been highly efficient. What are the pricing objectives? So this is very important aspect. Like if a farmer is growing any farm commodity, what basis, why should he price a particular commodity in a particular manner? So that gives us the pricing objectives, and this can vary from the perspective of a farmer and the consumer. A farmer may want to sell it at a lower price, whereas a consumer may feel that would be a higher price. So a balancing act has to be done between the perspectives of the farmer and the consumer. A farmer would like to not only recover his costs, but also earn good profits from his produce, whereas a consumer would always like to pay only that much, which is equivalent to the satisfaction, to the value that is provided. So there is always a tug of war between what the farmer feels and what the consumer feels. And basis on which a balancing act has to be done, basis on which the pricing objectives are depended. So if we have to list out what are the basic objectives of pricing, we can easily say, number one, and the most important, is to recover the original cost of production, obviously to make good profits, then compete with other farmers, capture a larger market share, generate regular cash flows to take care about the entire product life cycle of a crop, enhance the quality of produce by using science and technology, and sustain a good image of providing value at a reasonable price. So these are very, very important objectives of pricing, and altogether or in combination of this has to be taken care of by the farmer for deciding what would be the best price for his produce. So now, having understood what are the basic objectives, we'll also have to understand, in spite of the science being correct, in spite of the logic being correct, There can be certain factors which can influence the pricing based on the different climatic regions, based on the different variety of crops that are produced. So what are the factors that are going to influence the pricing of agri-productions? This can be listed in the form of area under cultivation. Like we see, in an area, maximum production is done, automatically the cost will get reduced. But if you spend more cost into cultivation, then what is the output? From the output, what is the pricing can do? So area of cultivation, then the climate, a better climate can good get a better harvest, but a sudden change in the climate can spoil the harvest, spoilage can happen, the costing will increase, and the consumer may not agree to pay a higher price for the loss or the damage you have incurred. Availability of skilled labor. Certain commodities are to be grown by skilled laborers itself. So if there's a shortage of skilled labor in that particular region, they may demand more remuneration. That's where the cost of cultivation may also increase. Automated tools for agriculture. Like so many tools are available for farm mechanization. So if they are used at a cheaper finance, then that in turn can increase or decrease the price of agri commodities. Quality of seeds. Whatever seeds you grow, actually the harvest that comes, the quality of output that comes, that will also be a factor affecting the price. Yield per hectare. We have various scientific methods wherein you can get a bumper harvest out of a small piece of land. So yield per hectare also plays an important role. Government interventions. Government also provides various support in the form of helpline, in the form of soil testing, in the form of foreign experts coming and actually recommending farmers what should be done, what not should be done. So these government interventions can also decide the pricing. Then investment in the market infrastructure, objectives of the farmers to earn profit, consumer behavior, usefulness, durability and grade of agri commodities, bargaining power of marketing agencies, and most important, the competition in that agri commodity. This will be the major factors that will influence the agri commodities. So now let us look at factors affecting specific commodities. Like if we have to understand what are the factors that are influencing rice. First of all, we all know rice is a staple food, not only in India but across the globe. And it is grown for self-consumption as well as for commercial purpose. So when rice is so much important, not only for individual consumption, but it can fetch good value in export, what are the factors that can influence the pricing of rice? The factors can be the weather, the climatic conditions, the rainfall, the soil quality, government policy on minimum support price, the demand for exports, local consumptions, trends of increase, decrease in price in a given period. These are very important points. Even though they are self-explanatory, this can affect the price in different ways, in different stages. Next important commodity is wheat. Wheat is a cereal grain, rabi crop grown to be consumed as a flour and for making breads. So whenever it comes to breads, wheat is a famous commodity and even for bakery products. It requires a cooler weather and a good level of moisture in the early plantation period. So this becomes a very important climatic requirement which can influence the production of, if there is any change, any adverse change in the climate, it can impact the quality of wheat. If we have to summarize the various factors that are influencing wheat, they can be weather conditions and production, the government policies on imports and exports. If there are more imports, then the local production may not fetch good value. Modern technology used in farming, the prices of the substitutes. If there are better crops or a better substitute in the form of which serves the same purpose of the wheat, then again it can influence the price of the wheat. Then crop size and yield per hectare, as well as the global demand and price. Wheat is also one commodity which is not only used for local consumption, but it can be used as a very good agri commodity for exports and fetch good value. Then what about the barley? Barley is a cereal grain grown in the rabi season and used again in soups for making bread. It is also used for animal fodder and for preparation of beer and beverages. So barley is a very important constituent in beer and beverages. Factors that can influence barley can be usage by the health food industries. Here again, a substitute may dilute. The rarity may increase the value of barley. The changes in the season, the global production, especially in the climate that suits barley, because barley cannot be grown, sown into all types of climates, all types of seasons. So if a particular region, if a particular climate suits, then only the production can happen. Demand of the crop vis-a-vis other substitutes and the price received for the other crops. So these are the very important factors that can influence barley. Next important is chana. Chana is also popularly known as the chickpea. Chickpea or chana is a pulse crop which is used as an edible seed and for making flour. It requires relatively cooler climatic conditions, low level of rainfall and sandy loamy soil. So here you can see the importance of a soil. Chana can be grown in a sandy loamy soil. The factors that can influence chana is the rainfall level, because we have seen it requires a cooler climatic and low level of rainfalls. A higher level of rainfalls may impact the output. Level of moisture in the soil. Here again we will see the moisture has to be as per the requirements. It requires a cooler climatic conditions. Important about the import price of chana into India. If it is available at a lesser price, the local crop may not fetch a good price. Exchange rate, foreign currency rate, as well as the changes in the production. Next important agri commodity is the maize. Maize is a cereal grain sown in the major states of India in both Kharif and Rabi season throughout the year. It requires moderate climate for growth. It is mainly used as a feed crop and even as a fuel. The various factors that can affect maize are excess or deficit rainfall, adverse can affect the yields, weather is very important factor, cheaper price of substitutes available, it can actually fetch a little value for its own. Then government policies on exports and imports, as well as the global prices, can impact the production of maize, the pricing of maize. What about cotton? Cotton is majorly grown in Gujarat, followed by Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh and Karnataka. It has just a 2-month sowing window, which is specifically around June, July, and is a 4-month long crop. Its seeds are used to extract oil and as a cattle feed. Cotton is again a very, very important agri commodity. What are the factors that can influence cotton? Number one is monsoons. Number two is production. Number three, cotton is grown across the globe. So what are the prices across the globe that can also impact the pricing of cotton? Direct procurement by government agencies and storage in warehouses. Because if you produce cotton in bulk, if it is not procured by the government, it may not fetch good prices in the local market. And even though it is procured, it has to be stored properly to take it out when it is required to be delivered. So government policies, good price for procurement, good storage facilities to store the crop till you fetch a good value. These are also important factors that can impact the cotton prices. And prices of cotton seeds and oil cakes will also decide the prices of the cotton, because byproducts based on the cotton will also be depending upon or deciding the price of the main product, that is cotton. Then factors influencing the soybean. Soybean is also called as a golden bean. It's an oil seed which is grown, and this is the largest grown oil seed in the world. It is largely used as a soy meal as well as a soy oil. Here again, this type of crop specifically requires hot summers and most alluvial soils with a good organic content. So soybean, even though it's the largest growing oil seed in the world, it requires a specific requirements in terms of soil, in terms of climate, and there are different factors that can influence soybean also, which can be weather, which can be area under cultivation, which can be pests and diseases. If there is a disease within the crop, the entire crop can get spoiled. So the pesticides, the effective pesticides, has to be sprayed delicately, which will ensure that the oilseed crop is going to give you good harvest. Then government policies on imports and exports, as well as the global price, will also influence the pricing of soybean. Next, we move to factors influencing sugarcane. Sugarcane, as you know, sugarcane is used for producing sugar and it is largely consumed as a work preparing for sweets as well as in tea and other requirements for human beings. Sugarcane crop takes about 12 to 18 months to mature. It's a long duration crop, and from its plantation, it generally done cultivated from January to March. It's harvested from November to March, and various factors that can influence sugarcane. It can be acreage and yield. It can be availability. It can be recovery percentage. It can be duration of crushing. It can be fair and remunerative price fixed by central government, because here also government procures at a minimum price, support price, state advised prices, government policy on import and export of sugar, because since it is largely used by major population across the country, government may decide in order to avoid shortage to import, and if the import price is on the lower side than what a farmer charges, then again that can impact the local production value of byproducts after sugar processing. So what value it fetches, what value the byproducts fetches, that can also decide the pricing of sugar. Factors influencing black pepper. Black pepper is also a very important spice specifically used for various foods, especially in India. Black pepper is also known as the black gold. It's one of the most popular spices in the world, which is used for both its flavor as well as medicinal properties. So it is not only used as a flavor for food, but it is also a very important component for medicines. Harvesting starts from December and it arrives in the markets from February. In our country, Kerala and Karnataka accounts for majority of the total Indian pepper production. What are the factors that are influencing black pepper? It can be soil moisture, it can be rainfall, it can be local and global demand, it can be arrival of the crop in the market, because right arrival will fetch you the right price, and the freshness of the crop will be sustained during that period. Then the climatic conditions, the global price, sowing and harvesting of all the producing nations, as well as government policies. So if you note, certain factors are common across all commodities, but there are certain specific factors which is applicable for those specific commodities. Next, we move to turmeric. Turmeric is also a very important crop. It is a kharif crop and grows in the light black clay, loamy soils, and it has also requires red soils. It's irrigated and rain-fed conditions with temperature ranging between 20 to 30 degrees. It is used to flavor and to color foodstuffs, and also in cosmetics and in medicines. It is sown in May and it is ready for harvesting in 7 to 9 months. And would like to note this specifically, India is the largest turmeric producer in the world. Andhra Pradesh is the leading producer, followed by Tamil Nadu, Karnataka and Orissa. Here again, the different factors that are influencing turmeric, it can be climatic conditions, it can be water locking or alkalinity, it can be global trading price, it can be carried forward stocks, it can be sowing and harvesting, as well as domestic and global demand. Next important crop is in the form of cardamom, which is also famous spice. Cardamom is important constituent in many medicinal medicines. Also, it's grown in plantation as moderately high altitudes in evergreen forests of the Western Ghats. Cardamom is widely used as a spice, renowned for its flavor and aroma, and its traditional and in traditional Indian sweets, and in the making of tea also. So there are different factors here. When we talk about cardamom, freshness is required, color is required, aroma is required, because these are the three main attractions for fetching a good price. Then size of the crop, domestic and global production, year-ending stocks, seasonal variations, time of arrival of new crop, demand in India, especially during festivals. It's very high in high demand, especially because maximum usage happens, during festival times. And if there is a lesser availability, then the demand will increase and the prices will go high. So these are the factors specifically impacting cardamom. Next important is jeera, which is also known as the cumin. Cumin seed is used to add aroma and flavor in variety of cuisines. It has a different taste, different flavor. So it is sown from October on rich, well-drained, sandy, loamy soils with daytime temperatures of around 30 degrees. It takes over 100 days to reach maturity and is harvested in February. India is again largest producer of jeera in the world. Gujarat and Rajasthan are the major producers of cumin seed in India. The factors that can affect jeera are climatic conditions, sowing and harvesting, domestic consumptions, global production and price, carry forward stocks, and so more. Next, we take coriander. Coriander requires good exposure to sunlight with medium to heavy loamy soil, sound drainage, as well as distributed moisture. The period for sowing is from October and the harvesting is done in January. The crop duration is 90 days. Its leaf and seed is used in foodstuff, for aroma, for adding flavor, and also used for medicines. The factors that can affect coriander are climatic conditions, domestic conditions, global production and price, carry forward stocks, how much you can take it forward, as well as sowing and harvesting. So now let us understand how pricing of agri commodity was done before the APMC Act. When we talk before the APMC Act, this is more on the traditional ways the pricing was done. In the traditional ways, we have also seen under the hand or below the cloth. Okay, a farmer has to sell produce at the nearest available mandi. So even APAC is a more organized form of market. But before that, there are different local mandis. So if a farmer had to sell his produce, or they were forced to sell only to the cartel, because in a particular region, a monopolistic will come and he will pick up the entire produce and then he will make money out of it by selling to different regions where he can make more profit. And since there was no one to pick up, a farmer was forced to sell to such cartels. Agri cartels have a strong information system on mismatch in demand and supply, and they could perfectly exploit the market and transport it where the demand is high and they can get better price than what would have otherwise got. So this was the method of pricing of agricultural commodities before the APMC. Now let's see how the pricing happens after the APMC Act. The APMC Act enabled establishment of private agricultural markets, and licenses were provided to bulk buyers for direct marketing, and because of which more freedom was provided to farmers to sell their agri produce. So now farmers could know where to take their produce, and by which they were not forced, they were not getting an inferior rate, but since it is going to be collected at one central place, they had an hope of getting a better price than before. It ensured farmers get a regulated market close to their farms, because APMC are spread across the country. It aims to remove the malpractices and imperfections in the agricultural markets. More the cartel nature of buying was minimized because of introduction of APMCs. It aims to create orderly and transparent marketing conditions. It helps the farmers to get a good price for the produce. And most importantly, it protects the farmers from getting exploited by the traders and middlemen, because they can directly go to this APMC and sell their produce. The farmers have to pay a cost for this, that is about 10 to 20% of the value of the produce, in the form of market fees, in the form of commission, in the form of charges of loading, unloading and weighing. But these are more or less regulated, so the exploitation was not happening in this particular form of market after the APMC Act. So what exactly APMC Act provides for, that is also important for us to understand. The APMC Act mandates provision of important facilities, since this is a regulated market. What are the important facilities? Number one, the auction halls, because here the farmers will bring the produce, and then auction can happen so that again a sort of price discovery will happen. The farmer may get a better price for a better bid. Warehouses should be there so the farmers need not waste his crops in the form of spoilage. It can be properly stored in the warehouse. Then the weigh bridges should be there so that no one can actually exploit. The farmer will get a proper price for a proper weighed quantity. Then there has to be a separate shops for retailers. Then there has to be a police station in case there is a dispute to settle. Then there has to be post offices, there has to be borewells, there has to be farmer amenity centers, as well as a soil testing laboratories. These are just few of them, and if you see APMC market, this will have more than this. But these are the basic mandated facilities that has to be provided at the APMCs. Customer has to pay more than the price negotiated by the commission agents. Now what happens here? The farmer brings it to the APMC. For the sake of getting his agri products put into the APMC, he has to pay a certain amount. But that is not the price at which what the farmer has sold, on which the consumer will pay. Because after that, the APMC, the storage and the time it actually reaches the consumer, there are a lot other additions in the prices which has to be borne by the consumer. And that is the reason a consumer has to pay more price than what actually it was sold by the farmer at the APMC. Consumer has to pay more than the price negotiated by the commission agents at APMC. Farm produce passes through different layers before it reaches the consumer. Over and above the wholesale price, the consumer has to pay the proportionate mandi fee, the commission of the agent broker, the transportation cost, as well as the taxes. And in reality, the farmer gets a very less price basis on which his agri-produce is actually loaded into the APMC. But in fact, the consumer is bearing more than that. So the point we are making here is the pricing of agri-commodities. The farmer is not getting the price what the consumer pays, but the farmer is getting only a part of it, what is recovered from the consumer. Now, another new method of marketing and the new method of pricing was introduced by the creation of agri-tech companies which can totally bypass the APMCs. Now, what happens in this case? APMC does not mandate a farmer to compulsorily bring his produce into the APMC. It's a good option for the farmer to get a better pricing. Agri-tech companies can bypass the APMCs by entering into an agreement with a group of farmers to buy the produce at a particular price. So here the farmer is rest assured about what price he is going to fetch for a particular produce from an agri-tech company. This arrangement is known as contract farming. Farmers produce specific crops in specific quantity with prescribed quality as per the mutual agreement between the farmer and the agri-tech companies. Farmers will be paid an assured price of the crop which is agreed upon before cultivation. So whatever be the crop produced, whatever be the quality, a farmer is assured about what a ballpark price he would be fetching for his produce. Farmers are thus saved from price volatility and the market findings and fluctuations. So this is one different innovative way of farmers at least securing a price, and it doesn't have to bother about taking this produce directly to APMC, bear the transportation costs and various other costs. Here, this particular price may be slightly better because it is a direct selling to the agri-tech companies, bypassing certain costs which could have been otherwise borne by the farmer. Now, how does an agri-tech company functions? Agri-tech companies, in fact, since it is very much concerned, since it has committed a price to the farmer, it obviously wants a better crop that has to be produced by the farmers. So in addition to the promise of delivering a price as per the agreement to the farmer, what this agri-tech company does, they encourage the farmers to utilize both primitive as well as advanced technologies. They even give them inputs as to what type of soil, what type of technology would be suitable for their crops. They provide technical help in order to enable the farmer to produce the desired output, both in quantity and quality. They manage the supply chain, which further saves the transportation costs of the farmers and safeguards him from any risk due to transportation. Government also plays an important role in regulating and enforcing the terms between the farmers and the agri-tech companies, so that agri-tech companies also cannot take the farmers for a ride. They are also regulated, and hence they also have to be dealing with the farmers on fair terms. Now, most important modern aspect of pricing, the total change in the pricing, the better price discovery of pricing has happened because of electronic national agricultural market. So ENAM is also playing a very important role in pricing of agri commodities. The electronic national agricultural market has successfully created a unified national market for agricultural commodities by integrating all the existing APMCs. So you no more have to sell your commodities only at one APMC. You can have a listing, a dashboard of all the APMCs that are integrated on the ENAM. Over 20 major wholesale agri markets have been integrated electronically, in sense like you can actually access the entire agri markets across the country, which are actually integrated into this ENAM. ENAM promotes organized marketing of agri commodities. It minimizes the price differentials. It enables better price discovery. And most important, it curbs the malpractices. The possibility of malpractice is reduced because there is a direct connection between the farmers as well as the APMC. So the middlemen are almost eliminated in this process. Yet another modern concept in the form of farmers producer organizations, popularly known as the FPOs, is playing a very important role helping the farmers to get a better price for the produce. The FPOs are set up, this is basically set up enabled by the members, mostly small and marginal farmers. They specifically get the financial support, the technical support, the marketing support, as well as the logistic services, agricultural inputs and implementers, crop grading facilities for higher farm productivity can also be accessed or made available through these FPOs. They collect, process, store and market their members produce in high value markets to obtain a best price. So it's a sort of association of more specifically the small and marginal farmers who may not be able to access all these facilities, who may not be able to market their agri commodities on their own. And when they come together, this association actually helps them to take a collective stand on behalf of all these small and marginal farmers. They are empowering the small and marginal farmers to come together as a group. And the links, they provide a link seamlessly to local, regional, national, and international markets. So the voice of the small and marginal farmers can not only be heard locally, but it can grow across the globe because of the power of these FPOs. The yet another, we see a lot of urban people like to enjoy the freshness of the crops. And here comes a new concept of farmers consumer markets. The farmers consumer market enables farmers to spread their fresh products across the stalls. In cities also, you must be seeing at various pockets of the city wherein some transport is available actually serving fresh from the farm, whether it can be vegetables, it can be crops. And here is the concept which we call it as a farmer consumer markets. The farmer can directly sell his agri commodities to the consumers. Farmers saves a lot because all the middlemen are eliminated. The consumers are willing to pay a better price because what is available in the local market may not be a fresh stuff. So consumers are also willing to pay something more. Farmers are also getting something more than what they would have otherwise got by marketing into other mechanisms. Consumers are delighted to buy the fresh from the farm produce, and consumers ultimately end up paying lesser price because what actually comes to the local market is an added version of the original price which the farmer actually sold to the market. So here it's a win-win for both the farmer as well as the consumer because of the farmer consumer markets. The latest one and the sophisticated one is getting a price through the commodity exchanges. The agri commodity exchanges such as the NCDEX, the MCX, the ICX has played a major role in a better price discovery for the farmers. It has came into existence with the aim of providing a neutral marketplace where farmers could make a fair and transparent price discovery mechanism for the farm produce. Because here in this exchange, the farmers can actually connect with a large number of buyers and sellers who are willing to do a deal, who are willing to trade at different pricing, at different timings. And this is where has given a larger freedom to the farmers to get a better price to ensure a delivery at a particular period. Farmers can disseminate both the spot and future price. Spot is the current price, today's price. If anyone wants to sell tomorrow, if anyone wants to buy tomorrow, this transaction can be done using a futures contract. A farmer has three main choices in this bargain. Number one is selling at spot price. Number two is entering into a forward or future contract. Or the third one is to just store it and wait for the best price. A spot price enables the farmer to sell at a spot price, means selling the farm produce at the available price as soon as the harvest is done. A future contract enables the farmer to sell at a price today that the market is bidding for future delivery. So whatever may be the price tomorrow, the price is settled as of today in a futures market. Farmer can choose his price and be certain of a chosen price even before the crop is produced. So he is assured about a price at a future date based on the contract that is executed today. To hedge his risk, the same farmer will buy at a price today which is lower than the price he's going to sell at a future date. And this beautiful mechanism helps him to square off the risk, if at all, that may arise because of the change in the market pricing. Then finally, if he doesn't want to sell at spot or even at the future, he can simply hold, store his crops, wait for the best price, and there is a possibility of a risk of shrink and spoilage into this third method. So based on what the farmer wants, he can choose either sell at spot or a future and simply wait. That option has been provided to the farmers by the modern marketing mechanisms. A lot more needs to be done in spite of all these changes that we have seen before APMC, after APMC, to the exchanges, to the ENAM, to these farmer-consumer approach, direct approach. Still a lot needs to be seen to enable the farmers to get better access to the market with right infrastructure, supply chain, with competition at fair trade. Farmers' profitability can be enhanced by introducing more traders and more choices to sell. We can only be assured that if all this is provided, only then the farmer will grow, agriculture will grow, and India will have a good image into agri industries across the globe. So friends, with this, we finish chapter number 2 and we will enter into chapter number 3. Thank you.